Rules, Money Rules, Money.
Welcome to the Money Rules Podcast, where we tackle your personal financial matters with leading financial advisors. Your host, Boitumelo Ntsoko.
We're discussing a unique investment vehicle today, sinking funds. These funds have been used for a long time, often by corporations and governments, but they can also be a smart addition to a personal investment strategy. To help us unpack what sinking funds are, why they're a good investment, and how you can invest in them, we're joined by Sean Kelly, a wealth manager at Parity Wealth Managers. Welcome, Sean. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Tumi. Always great to be on.
Sean, let's start with the basics. For those who may not be familiar with it, can you explain what a sinking fund is and how it works?
Sure. A sinking fund is an investment contract where you contribute funds regularly or as a once-off payment over a specific period, typically of 5 years. Unlike traditional savings account, which allows for easy withdrawals, a sinking fund is really designed to lock your investment in, ensuring that proceeds are paid out only at the end of the investment term. And in South Africa, a sinking fund is similar to an endowment policy, but without a life assured. So endowment policies are long-term linked insurance products regulated by the Long-Term Insurance Act. As such, endowments are subject to certain rules and restrictions. And while they offer similar features to a sinking fund does not necessarily have to stop if the owner passes away because it has no death benefit component. Instead, you can nominate a new owner, such as an individual or trust, ensuring the continuity of the sinking fund.
Now, these funds may not seem like the obvious choice for many investors. Why are they such a good investment?
Well, I think sinking funds offer a streamlined alternative to the endowment policies by eliminating the complexities related to the life insured. Since they're not tied to the lifespan of an individual, they provide greater flexibility and continuity. The policy remains relatively unaffected by life events such as death, making it ideal for those seeking stability or simplicity in the investment portfolios. For example, if you invest in a sinking fund to save for your child's education, you know that regardless of unforeseen events, the fund will continue until the term is complete. And this stability makes sinking funds ideal for long-term planning and structured savings. The implications of estate duty are straightforward. It is only applicable to the value of the policy if the policyholder is an individual who passes away.
Sean, would you say these funds are a good strategy for long-term goals, or are they better suited for short-term objectives?
Sinking funds should be well-suited for long-term financial goals. Their structured setup with a minimum term of 5 years encourages disciplined saving and financial planning, like retirement savings or funding a child's education, because they encourage disciplined savings over a set period. However, if you're looking to save for a short-term goal like a holiday or a car purchase within the next year or two, a sinking fund may not be the ideal vehicle due to its five-year restriction period. You know, in such cases, a more liquid savings account or investment option would be more appropriate. So while these funds are less ideal for short-term needs due to the restricted access during the first 5 years, they can prevent the need to tap into emergency savings or incur debt for infrequent or large expenses.
Is it fair to say that sinking funds are particularly attractive for conservative investors who prioritize stability over high-risk, high-reward scenarios?
So I think it's important to note that sinking fund returns are determined by the performance of the assets held within the fund. And typically, this will invest in a mix of mutual funds, equities, properties, or different asset classes to provide what the investment profile looks like for that particular investor in the sinking fund. Of course, investors can maximize returns by periodically reviewing their portfolio and switching to high-performing asset classes within the sinking fund. So, for example, if you're looking at some of the global returns, you'll note that the MSCI, which tracks the world global stock market, has done around 14% in rand terms over the past 5 years, while the U.S. market, the S&P 500, has done around 17% per year for the last 5 years on average. By comparison, the JSE or the local market has done around 9% over the last 5 years. And if you extend this out, you'll note that the offshore markets like the MSCI World has done around 12%, the US has done around 16%, and the JSE has done around 5.6%. So again, it really just depends on what the sinking fund holds as the underlying investment that will reflect the actual return for the investor within the sinking fund.
And Sean, what are some of the potential downsides that investors should be aware of when considering sinking funds?
Well, if you're considering a sinking fund, think of it as a long-term commitment that requires strategic planning. Make sure it fits into your broader financial goals and, of course, your risk tolerance regarding what the underlying investment holds. There are a few key considerations to keep in mind is firstly, restrictions. Remember, the capital is locked in for the first 5 years, limiting liquidity. So this could be a drawback for those seeking flexibility. Secondly, is platform fees. Typically, sinking funds incur platform fees starting from around 0.55%. And as we know, that can reduce the overall returns of the fund performance. And lastly, a key consideration is estate planning. While sinking funds form part of the investor's estate, they do not enjoy protection against creditors provided under Section 63 of the Long-Term Insurance Act. This protection is typically only available to endowment policies with life assured. So this makes them potentially more suitable from an estate planning perspective.
Sean, you mentioned returns earlier on and how the underlying assets impact those. Could you maybe give us an example of some of the returns that investors can expect and how they can maximize these?
Absolutely. I think, as mentioned, returns really depend on the underlying assets and investment portfolios. So to maximize returns, investors should be actively managing the investment portfolio along with a wealth manager or investment advisor, and selecting asset classes and underlying investments that align with the investment risk tolerance and overall financial goals.
And how can individual investors invest in sinking funds in SA and offshore?
So investors can access sinking funds through major financial platforms in South Africa. So a lot of the fund houses such as Allan Gray, Sanlam, Momentum will offer sinking funds. And internationally, it's a very similar story. Most of the large financial institutes globally will offer the benefit of sinking funds. I think it's just important to note how you wish to access those funds, whether it's through a trust, through a company, through individual capacity. Of course, there will be, you know, certain restrictions and requirements depending on what type of investor is accessing the sinking fund.
And do they offer any specific tax advantages?
So for individual investors, they can benefit from a flat tax rate of 30% on the income from within the investment and an effective capital gains tax rate of 12%. So this would be advantageous for individuals with a marginal tax rate that is above 30%. For companies holding sinking funds, the tax rate is a flat 28%, while for trusts, the rate really depends, or the tax depends on whether the beneficiaries are individuals or corporate entities. One key benefit of a sinking fund is that all the tax is handled within the product. So it reduces the administrative burden for investors.
And Sean, as we wrap up, is there any final advice you'd like to share with our listeners who are thinking about investing in these funds?
It's crucial to consider the longevity of the investment, the liquidity need upon death, and of course the tax implications when choosing between sinking fund, endowment, or other investment structures. And while sinking funds are ideal for businesses and trusts looking for investment continuity, endowments may be more suitable for individuals seeking creditor protection and effective estate planning. So aligning your sinking fund investments with your overall financial strategy and risk tolerance is, of course, essential. And these structures can offer steady returns, but as mentioned, it really depends on what the sinking fund underlying investment is held. Consulting with your financial advisor, or wealth manager, will help you tailor these investments, you know, to your specific financial goals and overall risk appetite.
All right, we leave it at that. Thank you again, Sean, for joining us on this episode today.
Thank you, Timmy.
That was Sean Kelly, a wealth manager at Parity Wealth Managers.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Money Rules Podcast. To listen to more, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.